kua tai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yes, that's right. Oh, clapping today.
Yeah,
Yes, it is time for a very fabulous feature of our week. It is the Scorpio Books Spotlight.
Mm.
And we have Josh in this week. Good morning,
Hello.
Josh.
Hello, good morning, good morrow.
How are you?
I'm great. Just was saying, a little chilly, it's a bit cold
these
days. Yeah,
it's not nice.
Shout out all my bike riders out there, you know the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
My fingies and toes, they spend, you know, at least half an hour being numb every day.
Absolutely.
But that's all right.
We are like, as non-drivers in this room right now, we're really making a sacrifice.
Can you drive? Do you have your license?
I do.
I don't even have my license.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm committed to the course. What can I
say?
Oh,
my God.
You know?
Yeah, no, I have, I do actually have a full license. Wow. But I never have money, so why would I have a car?
Yeah, cars are expensive. Anyway, let's not get onto that.
I could
talk the whole time about cars, but we won't. I am here to talk about a book.
Which looks really grim,
as always.
Not going to lie.
It is a fairly grim book, but it's a good book. It's called The Daughter's War by the last name I've been trying to say for the last day, but it's Christopher... Bjelman. It's a B-U-E-H-L-M-A-N. It's really that H that's there.
Yeah,
in me,
yeah,
you know?
It is.
But this is actually a prequel to a novel he wrote a couple years ago called The Black Tongue Thief, which, funnily enough, I realized this the other day. Black Tongue Thief was a book that was reviewed by my coworker Jonathan when I was sitting where you're sitting.
Really?
Yeah,
oh my
god. That's kind of a funny... come around, but it's been several years since that one. This is a prequel. I actually have not read The Black Tongue Thief. After reading this, I definitely want to. Knowing this was a prequel, I was like, you know, surely
it's safe to read
first,
right?
And it's been fine. I think there's been a few moments where they reference something, and I'm like, I feel like that's a reference to the later stuff. But that's fine. I can live with that. It's written in a style that this is, in total, the seventh book I've read, but, like, the third kind of in a separate series. The other two are series. In this particular fantasy style that seems to be the move at the moment, where it's kind of the main character is older, and this is them writing back about events that happened during their life. So,
yeah, there is a bit of that at the moment.
I think it was... Empire of the Wolf and Martyr were the start of two other series that are both in that style as well. It's good. I like it as a style. I think it leads a lot of opportunity to helps an author, I think, work around sometimes the frustrating parts in fantasy where, you know, you're trying to introduce a reader to this entirely new and separate world, and it's hard to kind of get them to understand what this world is and where you are and what's happening in it without it feeling like you either have to do weird esoteric kind of descriptions where it's like, you know, the notes of an ancient thing that are at the start of every chapter.
Right,
or it just feels really disjointed for a character to be like, and just so you know, this is blah, 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 blah. Because it's like a character writing back, they can be like, you know, I'm sure you're aware, but just to fill you in on it, you know,
right.
It makes more sense and they can kind of do these things better.
Because it's coming with like a retrospective angle,
exactly.
Where you have more scope.
Yes. It also means the kind of narrator, in this case, Galva is the main character who's narrating back on her life, can in moments be like, I'm going to quickly tell you about something that happened later.
Yeah, exactly.
To fill you in on this
vice
versa, which is good. I think for a fantasy, it's really helpful to kind of, for a reader so that you understand what's happening all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine,
But the story of the book is, like you said, it's fairly grim. If anyone out there who's currently not driving wants to look up a photo of the cover, you will see what Liam means. It is, I assume, Galva on a field of a bunch of dead people with lots of spears and a red sky. It's quite striking. But basically, this world is in the throes of their third war with the goblins. The first war was the Knights War. The second war was the Thrasher's War. And this is the third war. I think, I don't know if it has a name yet, but I don't know. They're in the midst of it, so it hasn't had a name yet. But
yeah, would you name a war while you're still in it?
Probably not. I mean, It wasn't called World War II when they were fighting.
No.
Actually, no, I don't think. Maybe. No. It wasn't called World War I when they were fighting it. It was called the Great War.
Yes,
anyway.
That's correct.
So basically, Galva is part of a experimental group of woman soldiers. It's their third war with these goblins. They're running low on fighting men.
Oh, no.
And so now the dames have to come in and help. So she's part of an experimental unit that uses giant corvid warbirds. So they're basically like these ravens that through the use of kind of magic have been greatly expanded in size and intelligence. So they
is that what the Lord of the Rings fellas fly on?
Yeah, the giant eagles. Yeah. They're kind of like that, but they don't fly. They're kind of like giant ground birds.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they use their wings to like block arrows and stuff, but then they have these, you know, giant beaks and stuff. So every person in the Lanza, is what it's called, in the unit, has two birds a person. So there's like 50 people and 100 birds. But they're this very kind of mobile, you know, experimental, but quite effective unit I've found so far.
Yeah, right.
And so she is the daughter of a bigger, you know, mover and shaker, this Baron. She's got three brothers. All three brothers are also in the war as well. One is like an actually good general. One is a bit of a drunkard, bad general.
Right.
And the other, her younger brother, who she loves so much, is the assistant to a magic, like a mage who's part of their army. So what I've really been enjoying about it so far, I find I haven't read a standalone fantasy in a while. A lot of the fantasies you're reading have been part of big series, which are great, but a lot of times the first book in a series is a lot of, you know, figuring out who everything is
and
this
a lot of world
wide
building,
world, and there's often, you know, a big overarching storyline that's going to kind of you're not even going to understand how it's important until you know, the end of the first book in the series.
Yeah,
so it's nice to have a standalone where, you know, everything is self-contained within this. And I've liked that it doesn't, not that I don't love a esoteric, mysterious, magical plot line that you don't find out about until halfway through the second book. Not that I don't love an ancient prophecy that only the hero shall fulfill. I love all of these things immensely. But it is nice to have a fantasy book that's like, no, it's war, and it's just, it's horrible, and it's terrible, and it sucks, and it's told from the perspective of an actual, essentially, infantryman in the army, rather than, like, a general overseeing the whole thing. I think it gives a lot more grit to the fantasy.
Yeah,
which,
totally,
a lot of other fantasy, it's not trying to do, and that's fine. But, you know, you hear in other fantasies of great battles and stuff, and you think, wow, so cool. And then you watch this one, you're like, oh my God, this is so horrible.
Oh
and
my God.
Everyone is dying, and it's just so bad. It almost gave me, I don't know if you have watched the HBO show Band of Brothers, but I have several times for some reason. And I love it. It's
interesting.
Great. And it's kind of given me that vibe in places, just in the sense of like, it's more about the camaraderie between these people as they go through this horror. And so, you know, it's them kind of on the march trying to reclaim various areas of this place. I'm what I've seen since I started this is the main character in this, I think, is a side character in the Black Tongue Thief. So this is kind of like their backstory of how they became who they were in that book. But yeah, if this is their backstory, I'm surprised they became anything, because I would just break down and cry. But the,
oh my God. Wow.
It does. Yeah. I say all of this. I've said all of these horrible, terrible things. it does also have a very kind of tender, I'm not necessarily going to say sweet, but like a tender line through it as well of, you know, the people you meet in these things and the kind of found family that you create during these kind of horrible moments in one's life are so vital and are so important.
Yeah,
They have a thing in this world called, they have a name for it in this, which I can't remember, but it's kind of like, they call it their sisters, but it's when, you know, women are in the military, which is fairly common in this, as they've been at war for so long now. They kind of take a woman, not necessarily as their, like, partner. They don't necessarily, like,
have sex,
you know?
Yeah.
But they, you know, kind of sleep together and are kind of this found family for one another. It's very sweet and it's very tender. It's very nice to have kind of women relationships in fantasy books that are often, you know, not always the greatest for women representation. And especially for like, female friendships outside of kind of the gaze of a man. So it's nice to kind of have female friendships in this that feel, I mean, I say this as a guy, but feel real and genuine and you know, feel like actually, you know, they're in it for each other, not in some weird way to be the object of like a man's eye.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Which is nice to see. And there is like a lesbian subplot as well, which is wonderful. Yeah. There's just a lot of very interesting things happening with it. I'm actually not quite finished. I was going to finish it last night.
I see that.
But then,
yes.
The fourth episode of House of the Dragon came out, and so I had to watch that. I didn't finish it. Yeah. But I'm very close to it. It's just nice to have a fantasy that's all contained, it's all within one book, and it's kind of just, it's focusing on one particular kind of aspect of a fantasy novel, like the war part, and it's just doing that really well.
It's not
trying to do like, you know, multiple POVs where this character's a battle general and this character's a mage somewhere else and then they all come together. It's like, no, this is just about this person and this war. It's wonderful. The writing style as well, because it's like her reading back, she also gets letters from her brother, or like kind of writings from her brother in his journal.
Right.
And she kind of intersplices those into her narrative.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I'm saying she, the author's not a she, but the narrator character's a she.
Yeah.
So she'll be like, you know, I didn't see this part, so I'll leave you with my brother. And then it'll be kind of her brother telling something.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I think the author's done a really good job of making those two narrative voices very distinct. I don't feel like I'm just reading like her in a slightly different font. It feels very much like two separate characters who are telling their kind of side of the story. She's very kind of realistic and pragmatic and, you know, kind of a little bit like, you know, the moment she kind of sees battle for the first time, she's like, oh, wow, this is like so horrible.
Yeah, right.
Where else he still hasn't, you know, he's not on the front lines. And so he still has a bit more kind of youthful innocence and playfulness. And, you know, there's a very funny moment where the wizard that he's squiring for gives him a invisibility potion. And so he takes this invisibility potion and he's like, but I can still see myself. He's like, oh yeah, no, that's how it works. Like you can still see yourself, but no one else can see you.
Yeah.
But he's like, but we can see your clothes though. So he gets naked and then he runs out and then everyone's looking at him and he realizes it was all a big prank.
Right.
And he's just running naked through this army thinking he's invisible. And it's this very kind of like funny, lighthearted moment, amongst all of these, all of this despair. But I mean, I'm saying despair and misery, but I don't know. This is going to sound very strange, and maybe this says something to my kind of psyche. I'm not sure. But there's a lot of talk about like cozy novels, right? I get it. For me, the particular genre of cozy novel, right? Like it's usually, you know, the characters are slow and they own a bookshop and they, you know, and that's lovely and beautiful and great. It's not particularly my style. I don't know why, but this kind of thing, like following a soldier through like war for me is my version of a fantasy cozy novel. Right. It's all put in together. It feels like it's got like on, you know, as it says on the front, goblins, guts, and glory, you know? It's got kind of honor and glory, and it's got seeing people work through the kind
holy
of brutality
trinity
of these
of
things.
Comfort.
Yeah. But I just love seeing people kind of have to go through these horrible moments, and it's nice to have a character go through these horrible moments and not become like too jaded and too like, we're all very familiar with the archetype of, like, a male character who's, like, the grizzled war veteran who's super, you know, like, narcissistic and doesn't care about anything now because he's seen the kind of horrors of war. It's nice to have a character that, like, sees the horrors of war and instead comes out of that being, like, we need to be even stronger as a community and we need to, like, hold on to the people that we love even more so. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to be a little sad in places, but I think being sad is part of coziness, right? Like, it's that
fictional,
like, you know, you're sad, but at the end, it is also a book.
Well, so I mean, it's also the whole, you know, you feel warmer inside when you can hear, like, the rain outside. Yeah. It's like, it's sadness, but it's not happening to you. Exactly.
And I think fiction gives you a way to, like, feel those feelings of sadness at enough of a distance that, like, it still feels bad, but it's like, it's not actually happening to you.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly.
You can kind of safely feel that feeling without it being, you know, genuine and overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would recommend, I'm going to read The Black Tongue Thief at some point after this because I'm really enjoying this writing style.
Now,
But yeah, The Daughter's War by Christopher
Buhlmann.
Buhlmann, that's how we're saying it. Buhlmann. Yes, it's wonderful. It is one of our Inklings titles for this year, so it's in our little catalogue.
Yeah,
you can come and get it, Scorpio. So come in and get one. You know, you can read it, and then you can come back in and you can talk to me about it. And
we'll kick
our feet up and we'll swell our hair. Nice. And we'll go, oh my god, didn't you love it so much? It'll
talk about the characters he
loved.
Yeah.
We'll twirl our hair.
Oh my god. Hey, thank you very much.
Hey,
and
thank you.
You know, commendations to you for picking like a safe fantasy novel. You know, it's not one of 14.
It's not part of a series. If you've ever been like, I'd want to try fantasy, but they all seem very overwhelming, this would be a good one.
It's probably a great way to start.
It's a great one to start with. Yeah, definitely.
Despite the cover, I think you've really sold me on this.
Thank
actually.
You. Thank you. I'm happy to hear.
How is Scorpio Books anyway?
Oh, Scorpio's wonderful. It's great. Yeah. It's great. It's a lovely, like, warm, cozy environment when it's so cold outside at the moment.
I feel like when I get in the morning,
I'm like, oh, it's so warm. It's so nice.
Oh, lovely.
It's great. Lots of really great books coming out at the moment. This just came out. There's a lot of other really good ones that are coming out. I mean, there's always good books coming out. But
it's just been... winter seems like a time where good books should come out.
It's a time
out,
for reading. It's the school holidays as well. So if you're looking for something to do with your kids...
Yeah.
Come in. We've got Telling Tales, our children's store as well, which is great. I was just in there the other day. It was packed. We've got a little Bluey doll. Everyone loves Bluey.
We've
got a Bingo one too, but don't worry. Bingo's not left out.
Okay.
Bluey and Bingo there. But yeah, there's lots of fantastic books. Wonderful place. We've got lots of events going on as well. We did one last night for the... what's it called? Living Wage Movement book that just came out, which is wonderful.
Yep.
And I imagine there's probably more coming up, but you can find them all on our website and on our Facebook page. And just come in and say hi.
A friend of our station actually is doing a book launch.
Oh, tell me more.
At Scorpio Books. It's about how to make cities musical.
Oh,
yeah, I shouldn't actually say too much. I don't know if I'm allowed to announce
that. Okay, that might have been a sneak peek. If anyone from work's listening, I didn't give that away.
No,
it's not on me.
Yeah, it was actually, I was told to organize that one. So,
I see. Okay, well then
if someone gives me responsibility, I'm going to blabble about it somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
So that's someone else's fault, really.
If they told you, I feel like they know that.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for coming in today, Josh.
That's okay.
Always
Thanks
a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.